Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Hero Podcast. My name is Mauricio Porras and I am the founder of Hero. Hero is a global platform that brings activists and supporters together to accelerate change. Go to heroactivism.com to learn more. Before we begin, I want to remind you that our Hero Lab is available to all activists. Our lab is a creative collaborative space to help you grow your communication channels, find funding for your work, or innovate in the way you do activism. Go to our Instagram at heroactivism to book a free call with us to learn more about how we can work together. In this episode, our guest is Cindy Trin, a photojournalist based in New York. She is also the founder of Activist NYC. We talked about the process that led her to become an activism photojournalist and create Activist NYC, about the power of photography to tell stories, raise awareness, and create an impact, about the evolution of activism and protest in recent years from the Black Lives Matter movement to the climate strikes. She also gave very valuable advice for creative activists who want to follow their passion and great insights on what it means to be a hero in these times. So give it a listen and I hope you enjoy it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Hero Podcast. Today, I have Cindy Trin as a guest. She's the founder of Activist NYC, a photojournalism project documenting different initiatives and movements happening in New York. So, Cindy, very excited to have you as a guest today. How are you?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here and talk to you about my work and about the fight that New York and, you know, the whole country really has been engaged in for many years, but specifically the last year, I think, has been very life-changing for a lot of people with the pandemic, right?
Totally. I mean, there's been like a rise in awareness. I mean, like you said, maybe these issues have been there for such a long time, but it has been brought more to our attention during the pandemic. And I think the work that you're doing through Activist NYC really focuses on that and helps people become more aware of what it's going on. So I want to start maybe talking about a little bit about yourself, and then we can go ahead and talk about your platform. So how did you become a photographer and what led you to start working on this photojournalism projects?
So I grew up in Orange County, California. I'm the daughter of Vietnamese refugees. So my parents came here after the war and they fled here to America. You know, didn't know this country at all, didn't know the language, had to adjust to an entirely new country. So I grew up in a very, you know, immigrant-minded household. Very poor, very working class. My mom basically worked her way up and raised my brother and I as a single mom, which I really feel inspired by every day that my mom went through that to give me and my brother a better life. So she sacrificed, you know, everything for a future for her children. And so growing up, you know, I always knew I was different. I always knew I, you know, wasn't part of mainstream whiteness. I was always kind of that kid that like was very loud and outspoken. You know, I had an edge to me. I wasn't like a stereotypical like Asian girl. You know, I was loud and I like to argue a lot. So I kind of got my fiery spirit like growing up. And you know, fast forward, I had always been very interested in photography and visual arts in general. Like growing up, my mom knows that I was very creative. I like drawing. I like taking pictures. Like I was really I was a really a creative person, but you know, growing up in a Vietnamese household with refugee immigrant parents, it was difficult to convince them that a creative field was something that was worth pursuing. Mm-hmm. And my mom wanted me to be a doctor or a pharmacist. A very typical like Asian parent expectation of their children.
And it turned the other way around.
Yeah, it actually, yeah. I couldn't be a doctor and I couldn't be a pharmacist because I was just really, I just sucked really bad at medicine and science. Like I'm not that stereotype of the Asian that's like good at math and science. Yeah. I was very much more into like humanities, and I actually ended up going to law school. So I actually went to law school, and during law school, it actually radicalized me quite a bit. So I do appreciate, like, that's the one thing I appreciate about my education is that I was, you know, I learned a lot, all right, about the legal process in this country. The history of racism, like actually law school taught me a lot about America's very ugly history of racism. And, you know, reading about like cases that where people had to really fight for their rights, fight for their constitutional rights. You know, a lot of our society is shaped right by the laws that have been passed down throughout history. And so going to law school, it actually helped me to learn a lot, and it helped radicalize my way of thinking, really. And when I graduated, so now we'll get really into, sorry, this is like the lead up into how I got into Activist NYC. So when I graduated law school, it was the recession. This was 2011, and you know, banks had just ruined our economy. Yeah. And Occupy Wall Street happened, right? This was 2011 when people started occupying Zuccotti Park down in Financial District in New York. Mm-hmm. And I really resonated with the message of Occupy because here I was, you know, daughter of refugee immigrants, made my way through school, worked really hard, you know, did all the things that America tells you to do, work hard and study hard and you'll be a success. But I came out with no job, broke as hell, with so much student loan debt, I just was like, I feel completely drowned in debt for the rest of my life. And I felt like this country had lied to me. Like
not the American dream.
Yeah, not the American dream I was promised here, you know? Yeah. And so the message of Occupy really resonated with me. And I was legal observing during Occupy. Mm-hmm. And just on my own time, I started taking pictures. So, when I was legal observing, normally as a legal observer, you have a camera on you to document anything that you might see. Like in terms of police brutality or people's civil rights being violated. So, you know, I already had a camera that, cause I still continued photography as a hobby throughout the years, even though my mom didn't want me to pursue it as a career. I just always like kept a camera on me around anyway. So I was taking pictures during Occupy and I really, really hate how the media portrays activists and protesters. I feel like the media is always, like they always show like the protesters in a very negative light.
And even like criminals.
Yes, like criminals or like people without jobs or like, you know, and even just like those videos of you that you see of officers pepper spraying the protesters. You would think that like people would be enraged at the officers for abusing people like that, but it actually creates more negative stereotypes in your brain when you see images like that, because we as humans have been conditioned to think of police as, you know, the enforcers of law, like the good guys. And so when you see them pepper spraying somebody, like a protester, an activist, you just automatically, like your brain assumes that like, oh, the activist did something bad to provoke it, right? Or that they deserved it for some reason, or it did, or like they did something bad and that's why they're being peppered. It's just like this, like the human brain, like that's what we think automatically when we see those images, right? And it's because of all these stereotypes that cops are the good guys and activists are the ones that are being rowdy and you know, breaking things or breaking the law. Like, so I just really hate how the media really focuses on the negative, and that's what gets them the headlines, right? That's what gets them the clicks. So, you know, I started thinking about like doing my own blogging. And so after Occupy, I started blogging and I started like writing about like what I saw. And I would like, you know, accompany my writings with pictures. So like I kind of, and this was like the early stages of just like, I just want to do something that like made me feel like I was like contributing, you know, to society, like make myself feel more meaningful. And at this point I was still trying to kind of be a lawyer, I think. So like I was doing more writing about like the protests and more, and I was trying to write more because I thought like, oh, I wanted to maybe be a writer or something since I have this legal education. You know, and then from there, like a couple years pass, I'm still trying to find a job. I was very depressed. I couldn't find a job. You know, a few years had gone by, like 3 years. In 3 years, I was applying to, I can't even count the number of jobs I was applying to. I mean, you know, I think there's a common, you know, issue with a lot of people that are like me, that like were unemployed, that were trying to find jobs. It actually, you know, the whole process of applying to jobs makes you feel really worthless because right, because you're like, you just spent all these years studying and all this money spent on getting your degree and nobody will hire you. It was a very tough time for me. And like the only thing that kept me afloat was just like my blogging and, you know, trying to find creative channels for myself to let loose some of my anxieties and like my frustrations. But it was a really difficult time for me personally because I didn't have a job and I was struggling so much, and I was really only able to live in New York during that time because my partner at the time, he supported me completely. He paid rent and everything. I couldn't pay rent at all. So I was working just very like crap jobs, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And then come 2014. So then 2014, Michael Brown was killed in Ferguson. Mm-hmm. And you know, the whole country erupted in protests. And I decided that, you know, I wanted to be out there, obviously, for all the protests. So I decided at that point that I was going to invest in a new camera. And I wanted to focus more on just taking pictures instead of my writing. I had stopped writing because I was just very depressed and I just didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So like I had stopped writing and I started going out and I started taking pictures and I developed finally the idea for Activist NYC. So I kind of rebranded my blog into Activist NYC and I made it more of a photography account where I was just documenting, you know, what was happening at this moment in history. I just knew that I wanted to be out there documenting it because it was the biggest movement since Occupy, right? Occupy was like 2011. And then maybe after a year of Occupy, things simmered down, right? After the police like broke it all up. So from 2012 to 2014, I was still writing. I was still going to small protests, but like there wasn't like a massive movement like there was back in 2011 until 2014 when Black Lives Matter really kind of took off, right?
Yeah, it was a big gap.
Yeah, there was a kind of a few years that those were the few years where I was like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And then 2014 came, and I just knew that I wanted to be out there documenting this movement, right? Documenting what was happening, because the whole country just erupted in protest. So I started, you know, taking pictures, and rebranded my account to be Activist NYC. And then within just a month of being out there, some of my photos started going viral. And I just gained a following over the years. So, you know, I kept doing it. I kept going out, taking pictures. And it's been, you know, I started in 2014. So it's been like pretty much almost 7 years at this point.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's just been years of building and just being out as much as possible. I've been doing this for a long time. I really feel like I've been doing it since Occupy. So I feel like it's been 10 years of this kind of work. But, you know, Activist NYC finally kind of propelled it, right? Propelled mm-hmm. my work. And so from there, like as my photos started getting more recognition, I started gaining more followers, like organizations started contacting me to do photography for them. And the moment that I decided that I was going to quit law for good and pursue photography full time was I was hired to shoot for Amnesty International. And I got to photograph, like, you know, legends like Harry Belafonte and Annie Lennox. And I was just like, wow, I can't
believe the dream.
Yeah, I don't know if it was living the dream, but it was certainly like a pivotal moment where I was like,
wow,
I can do this as like my job. Like I can do this. I can be a photographer. Like,
yeah, you saw the whole potential.
Right. And now that I'm not under like the scrutiny of my mother's control, because I don't live in her house anymore, you know, I could try
free.
My real dream, and it's always been my real dream, I think, to do photography, but especially the kind of photography that tells stories, and the kind of photography that can make an impact on people. That's been my goal ever since I started this. And so yeah, that's sort of like the gist of how I went from, you know, kid growing up in OC with immigrant parents to ending up in law school to now pursuing photography full time. And you know, like before we started recording, we were kind of talking a little bit about like, how can people, like activists and people who do this work, make a living doing mm-hmm. what they love, right? And, you know, that's my ultimate goal, is to find a way for me to make a real living off of my photography. It's a constant hustle, right? Like, I mean, I do other work just for money. You have to do like the, you know, the events or like portraits, weddings. You have to kind of do like all the
commercial
other,
work.
Yeah, the commercial work for money. But really it's like if I could be paid for the work that I do, I could be out there more, you know. But because like I need self-care, obviously, and yeah, I need to
pay the bills,
I have to work, right? I have to work other jobs. And it would be great that if I could dedicate more of my time to the activism, but you know, it's a balance. I think I think a lot of me and my activist friends, we talk a lot about balancing our activism with our personal lives, because it gets very daunting when you're doing this work. It's tough. It's hard. Like, it's not easy, right? So I think it's striking a balance of doing the work but also taking care of ourselves. I think it's a hard balance to find. That's why what you were saying earlier about like actually paying activists for their work. I mean, that's just, that would be like revolutionary almost.
Wow.
Like, you know. right? That's like basically how I started this project.
And I think that's amazing. And well, yes, you said that's revolutionary, and hopefully Hero, alongside with all these amazing activists like yourself and others out there, hopefully will break the system and change the game for activism, right? So
yeah,
we're in the process of making that happen. So to all activists and creatives out there who want to use their voice and talents to just raise awareness, bear with us a couple of months more. Hopefully we'll be out there. So yeah, very excited for everything that could happen once activists like yourself and content creators and creatives and basically anyone anywhere in the world could get paid and financed for their activism. And I think that would definitely change the way we do activism.
Yeah,
so definitely. Cindy, I love your story. I mean, you went from a struggle, right, from this dark place of not knowing what you wanted to do or getting a job, to actually creating something meaningful that inspires so many people to, you know, strike and do their activism and raise their voice. But something that I am always very amazed by photography is the fact that it documents moments and it tells stories, right? It's a powerful tool for storytelling. So you said you've been almost dedicated to this for like 10 years without minding the gap, right, between those like 2012 and 2014. But what have you seen, or from documenting all of these years, all these protests and people striking, what has been the evolution of activism in the city? I mean, from the first moment you started documenting, have you seen any changes or radical changes in the way people are rising to the challenges that we're facing? Any change in the message, in the numbers of people that are on the streets? Have you noticed any substantial change during these years?
Yeah, that's a really amazing question. And it definitely is 100% true that there has been significant change in what I've seen over the years. Like, I mean, there's obviously some similarities because we're like, this fight is a long fight, right? It's marathon. A lot of the things that we're fighting for 10 years ago, we're still fighting for.
Totally.
But what I've seen in terms of changes has really happened a lot more within the last few years, right? So then, like, with Donald Trump becoming president back in 2016, I definitely noticed a shift in numbers of people that started, you know, coming out, people that finally got out and protested. I mean, for a lot of people, the Women's March, right, back in January 2017 was like their first protest ever. So you saw like a lot of people finally kind of coming out during the Trump presidency, people that never really cared about politics before. They were forced to confront like the fact that, you know, racism is real.
Yeah.
we already know these things to be true, but you know, people really didn't see it until we elected a terrible, racist, xenophobic, misogynist president, right?
Don't get me started.
So, right? I mean, glad he's gone now, but he's still around, technically. He's still like, he still wants to run in 2024. So this isn't over, you know? Like, we are in for another big fight, right? So yeah, that was a huge shift I saw in terms of like number of people coming out. You know, Black Lives Matter has changed a lot too over the years, and what we saw in the uprising of last summer, right, summer of 2020, mm-hmm. like, you know, Black Lives Matter protests have been happening for a long time too, but this past summer when George Floyd was murdered, that was also sort of a segue into a lot of people's first time protesting. You know, like people that have never cared before or were too young before, right? You know, that's why these movements, like they come in like seasons almost, because it's like as we get more and more people involved, right? I think the numbers just kind of grow gradually. But yeah, you know, when Black Lives Matter was coming out, like was first beginning. I remember the biggest march I had gone to was the Millions March. And that drew out, I believe, around like 12,000 people or so, or I have to check the numbers later. Don't quote me on that, but it definitely drew out like tens of thousands of people, right? Yeah. And that was like the first big march, like first massive march for Black Lives Matter in New York. And we didn't have another march like that for BLM until this past summer of 2020. Then you were seeing 20,000 people coming out almost every week. I mean, that is such a drastic change, drastic increase. Because I remember going to protests in Brooklyn that, yeah, were estimated like 22,000 people, 15,000 people. And this was happening on a weekly basis, right? Like, and I was going out in the streets like almost every week. Yeah, like during the summer of 2020. I mean, I think it was just compounded with the pandemic. And the fact that people were home more and people had the time to finally go protest, I think that was also a huge factor in the numbers that we saw. At one point, I think in June 2020, right, June 6th is what is the date that they say was the biggest date for protesting around the whole world. June 6th, 2020, there's just like, I think, millions of people around the country and around the world, because we had other protests coming out of different foreign countries that were standing in solidarity, right? So it's like, I think they estimated that millions of people around the world were all protesting at the same time. I mean, that is a huge drastic change compared to, you know, the days of when Trayvon Martin was his first killed, when Michael Brown was killed, when Eric Garner was killed. Like, definitely, like, those protests drew out the numbers, but not like what we saw in June 2020. I mean, that was just a huge astronomical increase.
I think that's such a pivotal moment for activism, right? I mean, obviously, as you said, this has been going on for years, and it would have been great that this whole awareness and eagerness to be part of this protest would happen like many years back.
Yeah.
But well, we're in this place now, and we need to look at the positive side if that's possible. And more people are aware of what is going on. And I think the pandemic, if we can take a look at a positive side of the pandemic, is that people have more time, as you said, and people are actually not so busy thinking about other things and have the time to actually get involved and learn and just listen and start questioning maybe things that were not being questioned before. So I think we need to, as a movement, like really, you know, use this pivotal moment in history to actually not lose momentum, right? Because something that also caught my attention that you said was that it goes like in waves, right? So it would go up and then go back down. So I think from the Black Lives Matter movement to the global climate strikes as well, that many young people are organizing and leading, I think we're in a pivotal moment in history where being an activist is actually one of the most important jobs of our time, right?
Definitely, Yeah,
we need to get more people involved. And just connecting that with what you said before, that you would dream of dedicating all your time and efforts to being this creative activist through photography, I think we need to raise the bar on how to do activism and on how to get activists paid for them to be able to afford investing their time in activism. So, Cindy, what have been some of your learnings, maybe as a creative, as a photographer, as an activist, that might help other creatives or people in general to start getting involved and use their talents and times for the common good?
Yeah, that's a question that I talk to myself about all the time. I try to, like, you know, wrangle with that question every day, because I mean, the path is not easy. I mean, that's what I tell a lot of other people who want to get into, you know, doing creative work with their activism. It's not easy, and the work is difficult. But I think the advice I try to tell people is that just make sure you're doing what you really care about, right? Like, mm-hmm. and the thing is that I use social media. It's how I get my work out there, obviously. But I try to remind myself also that, like, I don't need validation from others in terms of the work that I'm doing. It's great. I love, like, obviously, when you're telling me that, like, my work resonates with you and mm-hmm. and you feel impacted by it. Oh my God, that's like the best feeling in the world to me. It's the only reason why I do this, is like that, you know, to know that like I'm affecting or impacting someone with my work. That is reason enough for me to do the work. But, you know, I think as creatives, especially, it's hard to put out creative work when you're feeling that pressure of like, will people accept this? Will people like it? Will people think I'm a loser? You know, yeah. I always continually have bad imposter syndrome. You know, like my imposter syndrome is terrible. Like I constantly feel like I'm a fraud. I'm a loser. Like I'm not doing anything like great or important, or, you know, like it's just these anxieties that always happen in your head. And like, that's always going to be there. So I try to tell myself every day, like, you know what? I'm not doing this for the likes. I'm not doing this for, like, you know, the validation. I'm doing this because, like, I truly just care. And I want to put out like something that I care about. So I think for everyone else who's like a creative, whether you're a painter or illustrator or designer or photographer or like, you know, any, or performance artist, even like everyone that I've ever met and known who is a creative that is using their creative skills to, you know, further their activism, they do what they really feel passionate about. And I think that is the most important thing, is to make sure that you feel passionate about it, that you just put your work out there and, you know that, like, sure, like you can be judged. You know, I get plenty of people that talk down on me all the time, right? They, yeah. Like, I get a lot of haters. I get a lot of racists. I mean, you know, there's always going to be people that will try to break you down, but as long as you're confident in the work that you're producing and all you really care about is just really doing that content and putting yourself out there, that is the most important thing. And if your work is amazing and it's great, one day you'll get recognized for it. You know, I truly believe that. I'm still waiting for my day too, you know, like one day, hopefully you'll get recognized for that. And you can actually, you know, start making money from your work, or like, you know, like real, or like showcasing your work, things like that. I think it's a really difficult, it's obviously a very difficult journey, but you know, I really truly believe in just following your passion and doing the work that you care about. And that usually will really manifest, right, in your work. If you really care about what you're doing, it'll show. And one day someone will see that, hopefully the right person, right?
Yeah. I mean, all it takes is one moment and one opportunity. And I love how you said it, because I think many of us struggle with what you just said, right? Sometimes as entrepreneurs, as activists, as creatives, you know, as any type of professional as well. If our work is really driving change, right? And if you do it for the wrong reasons, then obviously you're going to get frustrated in the way. For example, well, maybe I don't have enough likes. Maybe we don't have investors yet. Maybe no one likes my content, or I don't know if anyone is actually getting impacted by what I'm doing. But I think you said it like you couldn't have said it best. And it's that you should pursue what really drives your passion, right? Mm-hmm. And everything else will come, you know, as a result. And yeah. I think the fact that we're actually having this podcast and having this conversation, it's like the best example of what putting your ideas into action lead you to do. Because if you hadn't started like your Activist NYC platform documenting those protests, maybe if I hadn't started this crazy idea for Hero, maybe this conversation wouldn't be happening, right? And I hope that right, I've struggled as well, maybe thinking, well, am I crazy thinking that someday I could get activists paid, right, for the work they do? And the only way that I will be able to know if that's possible even is just by trying, right? Mm-hmm. So as you said, will I be able to be recognized for what I do? Does my photographs change the world, or are they changing the world? Well, there's no other way of knowing that until you actually do the work. And hopefully that will be the best advice, as you said, to people out there, whether they want to become digital campaigners or organizers, or just, you know, using their art and creative talents to raise awareness. I think that we need to stop thinking so much about, you know, how it's gonna end or the results we're gonna have, and just start doing. I mean, because at the end, it's only by doing and taking those little actions and steps that you start moving forward. So by just thinking, you know, and being paralyzed without doing anything, you're not going to move forward. And I think that the only way to move forward is just by doing. So I love that advice. And I hope that more creatives and other people just feel inspired about the work that you do, because I do. I mean, I'm so inspired by your story. I already admired your work, but now that I know everything that was behind, you know, your process to become this amazing photojournalist and inspire so many people to become activists, I'm even more of a fan. So,
that's so nice of you. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
So this is your recognition, Cindy. I mean,
thank you. It really does make me feel like everything is worth it, just knowing that like someone out there appreciates the work that I do. And I hope that like it can inspire people. Like that's why I love photography so much. You know, there's a whole nother conversation we can have, right, about like why photography is so important, especially photojournalism and documentary photography, because we're documenting moments in our history right now. And I think it's so important to always remember, right, our history, and always remember what we fought for. And, you know, I hope my goal is an ambitious goal, but, you know, I hope that like my photos can be looked at like 50 years from now, and we can remember, right, like what we fought for, remember this time that we were going through, such a pivotal moment again in our history. Like we've talked about in this podcast a lot now, it's just we're going through so much. I mean, with Donald Trump as president, with the COVID-19 pandemic, with, you know, racism on the rise. Like, there's so much happening right now. Our climate. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot.
The list goes on.
And like, and I think it's so important that we document this feeling, document like this, you know, this time, because it is, we are going to remember it. Right. I don't think for pretty much most people on this planet right now, this pandemic is the first ever pandemic they've ever experienced. Yeah. I know for me it is. So we'll always remember this time. And I think photography in particular has such a strong value because, you know, we can see what's happening on, you know, in real time, essentially. And we can, and people from around the world can see, right? I mean, that's what the amazing, I guess, consequence of the internet. The internet yeah. has allowed us to see what's happening on the other side of the world. I mean, we're looking at Myanmar right now, right? I mean, could you have, like, besides like mainstream media and news, there wouldn't be much of a way for us to learn what's happening in Myanmar or Hong Kong or Egypt or the Middle East or like all these other places around the world where there's uprisings and movements happening. We wouldn't see that unless it weren't for the internet. Like, we would only see it through the lens of mainstream media, which, you know, to me is not an effective way to get content and information anymore. I'm totally. Sorry. I think the mainstream media is just so biased, right? They're so biased.
Totally, yeah.
We know how corrupt they are. They're owned by multi-million-dollar corporate, like, greedy, you know, guys who just, like, they control the news. So that's why I appreciate, like, citizen journalism, like myself, because, you know, we're showing what's happening on the ground, and we're not doing it through a lens of a corporation. So I think, like, with photography and with the internet, like, we've come across a new age, right, where information can be spread quicker. It could be, you know, we can see things that are happening that weren't just like in our like neighborhoods anymore, that aren't just in our own neighborhoods now. We can see what's happening everywhere.
Yeah, on a global scale.
Yeah, and I think that's why photography has become so, you know, has always been an important medium, but definitely for me right now, like, it's such an important medium to really like showcase, right, like what's happening on the ground. I think all forms of art, you know, when we're talking about other creative mediums, like all forms of art all have different ways and that it can impact people. You know, we all have different roles that we can play, I think, as artists and activists. Like, I see my role as someone who's a documentarian, who's someone on the ground, like in the protests, with the protests, and also like documenting and showcasing people, real people who are out there right now, who are fighting, who are in the streets, not just, you know, like press photos of these protests, but real close-up raw emotional portraits. Like, that's what I really focus on with my photography, is getting like people like up close and personal. So, you know, as creatives, as artists, as activists, we all have different roles that we can play, mm-hmm. right, in this movement.
Definitely.
And all together, working collectively, that's how we build like a larger movement. So, you know, we all can just put in like that little bit of work, but then collectively it's a massive movement. I think that's what we're seeing.
It sums up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that what greatest legacy can you have as an artist than documenting and leaving this evidence, you know, for history to look at it and to remind ourselves of what we're capable of doing and accomplishing and also evolving towards a more just and sustainable world if we actually make the decision to take action and work with others to create all these movements and raise awareness and stand for injustice and raise our voices. So I think that's the magical part of photography, that you can actually just capture this moment and basically, yeah, leave it for it to be a legacy for future generations, right?
Yeah.
Cindy, just to start closing, I wanted to ask you, from your perspective, what does it mean for you to be a hero?
Oh. honestly, I think when we hear the word hero, we think of something very grandiose. But honestly, a hero to me is someone who is opposite of that. I mean, there's obviously heroes that are grandiose, that do have, you know, massive, you know, like followings and people who do just like very big work, right? Like people who are well known, you know, activists that are in the spotlight. I think a lot of people tend to think those people as heroes. But, you know, I think all of us that do anything is really a hero. If you're going to put it like, you know, the people that are silent about their work is also, they're also heroes, I think. You know, people that just like, that like want to help or want to do something, anything that is just outside of their own, like, personal bubble, I think those people can be considered heroes. It's just like, it really comes down to perspective, you know. I think this word hero is it's such a big word, right? Like you think of like a big, like a superhero, that's like kind of like the, from when you hear the word hero, you think of like that's like the kind of like the first association you think of is like superheroes. But yeah, as we've seen this pandemic, we call a lot of our nurses heroes now. And I thought that was really, you know, significant, because, you know, we're calling essential workers heroes now. Mm-hmm. Like we're people that we wouldn't have regarded necessarily as, quote, heroes before. Have now suddenly become like heroes in our mind because of this pandemic, right? This pandemic has really kind of shifted the meaning of what it is to be someone who just cares, right?
Yeah,
who just,
for like, others.
Who just cares for others, you know? And I think it's been so changing. And I think like, I don't know if I'd call myself a hero, but I definitely feel like other people might see me as one. And I'd certainly see other people as a hero. I think you're a hero for having this podcast. You know, I think that nurse is a hero. I think that cashier at the grocery store is a hero. I also think those big, like, name activists, the people that we, like, all know and love, right? Linda Sarsour, like, let's say, for example, another big hero of mine, Amanda Nguyen, who's a big sexual assault activist. She's a big hero of mine. Like, always, all the heroes that we think of in terms of the activist world, like, yes, they are definitely heroes. But I also think, again, of just the person holding a sign at the latest protest, like that's a hero too. You know, like we're for me, hero just means like you do something that you care about enough to go beyond your comfort zone. I think that's like, I couldn't agree more. Anyone, right? During this time, especially when like there's so much terrible things going on and like, we're all so like, you know, stressed, frustrated, anxious. Like if you do anything, if you just go out to a protest once and hold a sign, I think that is commendable right there. So really like we all have things that we can do, right? And
to
and
be
it doesn't
heroes.
Have to, yeah, to be heroes. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be this big shot activist or this big shot celebrity or like a big influencer. You can literally just be you and just show up to a protest or donate to
show
an organization,
up.
Right? Yeah, show up. Don't, and that doesn't mean like you have to physically show up, because there's a lot of people right in the disabled community that mm-hmm. might not be able to physically show up, but you can show up with like your dollars. You can donate to organizations, mutual aid. Like there's so many mutual aid funds now ever since the start of this pandemic. I mean, mm-hmm. we've got so many in New York. We saw just what happened in Texas. Organizers set up mutual aid so fast, right? When Texas got shut down because of the winter freeze and they didn't have power and water. I mean, people organized so fast to get those mutual aids going up. I mean, you donate money to a cause that you care about, then you're a hero in my eyes too. Because
totally.
These are all things that we can all do together collectively, right? To really further this movement for justice, for equality. These are all things that we can all contribute. And I think all of us are heroes for that.
I love that. And I think that if we start embracing our inner heroes, right? And I think your work and all the work that activists are doing hopefully inspire other people to embrace those inner heroes and, you know, embrace the fact that they have a voice, that their voice can change things, that their actions can change things. And I think we're on the right path of making this happen. I see a movement of hope, of people that feel inspired despite the challenges and the negative things going on in the world. So that keeps me going, and hopefully that will inspire other people as well to take action and embrace those inner heroes. So Cindy, thank you so much for this conversation. I cannot tell you how inspired I am right now to keep doing what I'm doing. And it's all thanks to your amazing work and this conversation and just, you know, realizing that everything counts, you know, small actions count and we're heading somewhere. Maybe we don't have like the full picture right now, but those little actions all contribute to building a bigger impact, a collective one. And I guess we're all in the same, you know, path to building this. Everything matters. Everything that we're doing sums up to a bigger cause. So thank you so much for everything that you're doing, for the amazing work, for inspiring other creatives to do the work as well, and for taking the time for us to have this conversation and be a guest in the Hero Podcast.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciated our conversation today a lot, really. Again, like, just appreciate your work as well. And, you know, let's move forward together. Let's work together and
yes.
continue to collaborate with one another. I think, like, you know, collaboration and an attitude of just like moving forward together and community, I think that's also really important. So thank you again for allowing me to tell my story here on your podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Cindy, thank you so much. And let's keep in touch, because I think this is just the start of something great.
Great. Yes, for sure.
Awesome. Take care.
Okay.
Talk to you soon. All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of our Hero Podcast. Remember to subscribe and to follow us on Instagram and Twitter as Hero Activism. See you next time.